If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today. So.
Hey! This is JJ and Alex.
I made a name for myself. I told you I won't be denied.
As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm bullish on hockey. I'm bullish on where the sport's going. I think that if you look at Utah and you look as a winter sports market, almost every Olympic sport, winter Olympic sport trains there year-round. There's a long history of hockey. And then just the rise of hockey. Everyone knows going to a live hockey game, there's nothing really like it. We're excited about that. We've also, you know, we've had the Frozen Fury since we've taken over in the arena in Utah, which has done incredibly well.
That's Ryan Smith on Sportsnet in Canada. Very popular person right now in hockey circles as he is now the new owner of an NHL franchise. Welcome in JJ and Alex, Jeremiah Jensen. Joined today by Sam Farnsworth, who's going to be live today as well on KSL Sports. He's right now, he's Googling something, I'm sure.
And
we're also joined
Googling
by Jay Stevens.
Yes, I did.
You were been Googling the hockey rules. This guy here has covered the NHL at the highest level. He covered the Colorado Avalanche for several years, which is so cool to have Sam here today and Jay Stevens. Our expert, our hockey insider, KSLSports.com. Listening to the Puck Report, you read his articles on KSLSports.com on hockey here in this state and otherwise. Jay, welcome.
Good to be here.
Oh, thanks, man. So had you yesterday. That was great. You're back today for more fun. Sam's back from Phoenix. Let's dig into a bunch of this stuff. It's going to be fun to talk about this as we continue to celebrate the fact that the NHL is coming here to Utah. It's brought to you by G2G Bars. With all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein, G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. NHL in Utah makes the cut at 3 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A little over 24 hours ago, we learned that the Utah Hockey Club is going to be playing in the NHL in 2024-25. Whatever the name may be, whenever we find out, it doesn't matter. The NHL is here. We're psyched up about it. Guys, it's just still surreal. It's still setting in, and it happened quickly. I just want to bounce some stuff off you guys. And start, Sam, I'll start with you. You were down there. You have experience covering NHL hockey in Colorado with the Colorado Avalanche. You've been to games. You've covered the Stanley Cup playoffs. You had a chance to go meet some of these players and people down in Arizona that will be coming here. What were some of the impressions that you bring back with you after that experience talking to those guys?
I mean, don't be confused by what you may hear coming out of Arizona. Obviously, the fans, they're not happy. They're a lot of them feeling emotional about losing their team. But it doesn't mean the players are feeling the same emotion. I mean, you know, they do feel that they do feel bad for their fan base. They've been there for a while, but every single person that we were given access to expressed excitement about coming to Utah, coming to a place where they know there's a fan base excited, ready, hungry to receive them, especially excited that there's an owner with an actual plan, a vision for a franchise to be a competitive franchise, to have a great home, to have runs in the Stanley Cup playoffs. These guys are ready. They're ready to come here. They're ready to play hockey here. And I can't blame them after experiencing Mullet Arena firsthand. Nothing against the arena. It's a great college arena, but it's just small. It's just not an atmosphere for the NHL. Gary Bettman reiterated that multiple times this morning in Arizona in that press conference there, that it's just not the place for the NHL to be. Well, they get to come to a place where the NHL deserves to be.
Jay, where are we at with season ticket deposits right now?
It's all over the place. It was 11,000. I've heard the building's only going to hold like 12,000
right
this year.
Slow down, everybody. Not everybody can come.
They said between 12,000 and 14,500 for the first season before some renovation, which I wasn't allowed to talk about, but Gary Bettman kind of let the cat out of the bag yesterday. So I figured that kind of
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're talking about making this arena, like they're taking the sight lines and making it better for hockey players and hockey fans. And so, yeah, we're sold out basically.
Already.
And that's what we want,
in
right?
24 hours, this place is already committed to be full.
For all the people that said it couldn't happen or it wouldn't work here,
And I bring that because you're right. People that didn't think it would work here, that's clearly bogus.
Yeah.
The excitement of the last 24 hours proves that that's incorrect. And this excitement continues today. Ryan Smith's going to have a press conference at 5 o'clock. There could be surprises today. We don't know. We're going to learn a lot more about this whole situation from him directly. But there's excitement here, and this place is definitely going to support this. B, you see just how poorly those guys had it down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you watch hockey. You see the good organizations and the bad organizations. Just how much of a difference is it going to be for those hockey operations folks, from the players to the GM, coach on down, about the difference it's going to be here for them to thrive and be their best?
Well, just start with the GM, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy that's been handcuffed.
Yep.
His team has been – It's impossible to get people to come, especially free agents. I mentioned it yesterday. Like, the NHL free agents are like, I don't want to play in Canada because the taxes are ridiculous, and I don't want to play in Arizona because I don't want to play in a college arena with a team that's not built to win or trying not to win. And, you know, now you're going to see the opposite for a guy that's done an amazing job with, you know, the hand that he was dealt. He's built a team for the future. He's got a lot of young talent. I mean, they're still fun to watch. I watched a lot of games this year, and I thought they were a lot of fun to watch. And until, like, mid-season, they were pretty competitive. I thought they were really going to make the playoffs and maybe do something. So, yeah, if you start with the GM, now his handcuffs are off, he's going to do amazing things. It's going to build a solid team. And then, you know, with the players and the staff, everybody's just going to be happier. You just have that, you know, that sense of belonging and the sense of really being a pro, as opposed to when people come into your arena and you feel like you have to apologize to them for being there. And that's huge. And it's, you know, it's just one of those things. I think we see a lot of success right off the bat, so you're going to be happy about it.
As you know, I'll say this too really quick, you know, going back to the how rapidly these season tickets have been in demand, right? I think even this morning Bettman said that's upwards to 20,000 now.
Yep.
The deposits on those and you're right, you know, it's not going to seat that many right away, but what that's telling me is that people are getting in line. Okay, I might not get my tickets right now, but I want them somewhere down the road, whether it's later this season, whether it's next season. You get in line now for your season. You see that at some of the great franchises in sports all across the country, like the Packers. I know the Broncos have a long list. The great franchises in sports, you get in line when you can.
Yep.
And put that deposit in so that when your turn comes around, you're ready. And I'll tell you what, when your turn comes around, you'll be pleased that you got in line now, because the product, it's unmatchable. Just what NHL hockey's like in person.
Yeah, it's like with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, people are, you're on that waiting list forever, and when
right.
your turn's up, they're like, hey, these three seats came available, and you're like, well, that wasn't really my price range, but I'll do it.
Yeah,
I'll do it. I'm in. I'll borrow money. I'll sell my car. Whatever. I've been wanting these my whole life, and then it's hopefully that's.
And
I don't want to be that hard here because I still want to go to games.
Right, sure. Yeah.
But that's
sure.
a franchise that hasn't won a cup since the '60s, right?
Yeah,
and they're still insane about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it shows you just how rabid they are there. That's the obvious. That's the pinnacle of hockey excitement is in Canada. We all know that, in Toronto specifically, but. What I think fans listening right now, people that are really going to latch on to this, as you're listening right now, you're very excited about this. You look forward to seeing what's on the ice. And I think as we turn the page here from we've got the team now, it turns into, okay, what is this product going to look like? What kind of team is coming here? And we need to start digging into that. And that's one of the things I've started to do is, and Sam had a good up-close look at them live on Wednesday, some of these young players. And obviously, it's not going to be the exact same roster. That's not going to happen. But a lot of these guys, I'm sure, will be there. A lot of this great young talent. And, Jay, you know how good some of these players are. Just how good is this team moving forward with what they're bringing? Obviously, they're not Stanley Cup playoff ready yet. But the other thing to think about here is, but with all the picks they have, with the players they have right now, I feel like they're Andre Tourigny, Sam was around him, seems solid.
Yeah.
He's got a culture that's going really well there right now with that group. That they have a chance with the addition of the cap space, and I think Ryan's going to be aggressive.
Yeah, I think so too. And the cap space is going to the salary cap's going to go up. Right now, I think at the end of this season they had $7 million in cap space. They only had 13 players signed. through next season. So our first season as a Utah team. So we got to fill 7 spots. We're going to fill a couple of those with prospects. We've got 1 first round, 3 second round, and 3 third round picks this year. Probably see the first rounder maybe. Then you see some really good free agents on the market. I know Reinhardt's been brought up a few times as an exciting left winger that's going to be an unrestricted free agent out of Florida. And you're going to see that gives us like $20 million in cap space. When you do the math on all of it, with the increase and then all those other contracts going away, that's $20 million in cap space.
Wow.
May not sound a lot if you're an NBA or an NFL fan, but for the NHL, that's a huge chunk. You're talking a $90 million salary cap, and you got $20 million to spend. And you got Clayton Keller, who's a phenomenal player.
All-star.
Nick Schmaltz, fun to watch. Hopefully Shea Weber's healthy next year. He's exciting to watch, too. We'll see. There's a lot of what-ifs, but, man, like – I started looking at all the free agents and who's coming unrestricted, and there's some Vegas guys coming open. Trevor Lewis is going to be unrestricted. I know I keep throwing that out there.
It'd be cool to bring him home for his. Wouldn't it be incredible for him to finish his career?
No kidding.
In Utah at an NHL team in his home.
Yeah, and he's got a big mile. Like his 1,000th game would be next season if he gets a contract.
That'd be amazing.
Next season. He's played well enough this year to earn it. I know I'm biased because I'm a big fan of the kid and I've known him since he was born.
It just makes too much sense.
I think I was going to say it'll sell tickets. I don't think there are any tickets left. But
don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's going to be amazing to see, like, if that happens. And again, I keep bringing it up hoping that I wheel it into existence.
Yeah.
Which I think is what we did with this team.
I love
the
idea. Yeah, right?
I know you've got it. I know you got a listening ear in the organization. So I think that they're not dumb. And in the first year to have Trevor Lewis here, I think would just be a phenomenal tribute to him. And it would be significant for hockey in this state to have Trevor Lewis be a part of this. I can't imagine not.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not. 2-time Stanley Cup winner, highest draft pick in state history. He's the first guy of hockey when I think about in Utah with what he's accomplished. Nobody's done what he's done as a player from this state.
Right.
He's got to be a part of this. He's got to be.
You mentioned the roster. That's about the only thing I think the media down in Phoenix were giving Alex Murillo credit for was actually hiring the right people to identify talent and build a roster through a rebuild to get to a point where they feel like, man, we just finally got this team to a point where we're a year or two away, and now they're leaving.
Well,
thank you, Phoenix. We get a team that's almost ready. They're on the cusp.
So, and I compared this yesterday. It reminds me a lot of what happened with Quebec. If you remember, Quebec had not been good
and Colorado.
Not been good, and then they made some trades, and all of a sudden they're in Colorado and they win the cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their first year, right? So it's like, and then Denver, like, they had the Denver Grizzlies win the championship, and then the next year they have the Colorado Avalanche win the championship because they were built that same way. They just needed a little piece here and a little piece there, and that piece turned out to be Patrick Wall.
You talk about building a team. The draft is very important, and in this market, we think in terms of the NBA because that's what we're familiar with, Jazz. In the NBA draft, there's only 5 guys that play on the court. And they play, and your starters play 25, 30 minutes. Every guy you have is so valuable and important. So when you get a top pick, there's so much pressure on that guy to be great. And it's so important to get that number one pick or find that generational player. And hockey's a lot different. You don't have to have that home run guy in the first round. This team has 13 draft picks. They've got a 7.5% chance to win the number one pick in the draft coming up. Explain to those who don't understand how the draft works and how long it takes some of these draft prospects to work their way into an NHL team. It's a lot like baseball, right?
It's very, very similar to baseball. So we'll start from like 15 years old. You got to leave home and you got to go play midget AAA somewhere.
Trevor Lewis left here when he was 14.
Yeah,
right?
Trevor Lewis left here. Steve Konowalczyk left here. Like, those are the two guys. So, yeah, you leave home, you play midget AAA, and then hopefully you go play in major junior or some kind of junior A hockey, which is typically – you technically can play from 15 to 20 years old. Typically you play 17 to 20. We had Mason Manick, a local-born kid who'd played up in the WHL for a few years and had a phenomenal junior career. So you play those, but at 18 years old, hopefully you've played 1 or 2 years junior at that point, and the NHL says, okay, you're eligible for the draft for this year. If they don't get drafted, they could also be eligible the next year. But they try to draft them out of juniors. So you're talking about a kid that's played midgets and then played a little bit of juniors. So it's different than the NFL where you're talking, you're drafting guys that have already played college, but they do have a lot more games played. But then it's also, okay, we're going to draft you. We're going to, you're going to leave you where you're at, or we're going to let you go play a few years of NCAA and mature and percolate and get big and better and get that mature body. And then they'll bring him into camp. Well, they start bringing him into camp early. They'll have rookie camps. The NCAA allows that. And see how competitive they are against grown men. And then they'll bring him in. And if they're not ready the first year, they'll sign a three-year entry-level deal. First-round draft picks, the entire first round, the contract's exactly the same. For pick 1 through 32, the contract's the same. So they come in, they sign their entry-level deal, and if they don't mature, if they're not ready, they send them to the A. Or send them back to juniors. Mm-hmm. But usually at that point, they go back to the AHL and mature, play against men. And they usually have a couple guys there that are just career minor leaguers, but that are really good around developing young talent and teaching them how to be a pro athlete and being, you know, how to handle making money and playing hockey for a living. So there's a lot more time than there is in the NBA or the NFL. I really thought that's what the G League was going to be for the NBA. It was like a development, like a true, we'll draft all these guys, we'll put them here, and we'll farm club them. It seems like they're getting there a little bit. But
yeah,
I don't think, I don't think they get it 100%, like baseball and hockey.
No, they don't.
The NFL would be cool if they had that too, right?
Of course, the NBA doesn't have, they only have two rounds of a draft. It's a little different there, plus the amount of guys. So it is a little different. Feels like a good time to mention that the minor league franchise, the Tucson Roadrunners of the AHL, it has been confirmed will associate with Utah next season.
Yep.
Now, that's just for next year. We'll see what happens after that. A lot of things could move. Of course, we know the Utah Grizzlies are in this market, an ECHL franchise. And we're talking off the air, and I also wanted to pick your brain on that. How is the – what's the difference between the AHL, the ECHL levels of hockey? They don't progress up like baseball where it's A, double A, triple A.
It's similar. It's similar.
Okay.
It's you don't see a ton of player movement between AA and AAA. So AA being the Utah Grizzlies, what they are with Colorado Avalanche right now. There's a step between them, which is the AHL Colorado Eagles.
Yeah.
You'll see players coming from Utah to the Eagles, but very rarely do those players go all the way to the Avalanche.
Like how many players on the Grizzlies have an NHL affiliation? Is it all of them?
No. It's usually – so it's different between each East Coast League team, mm-hmm. or ECHL, I guess it's not East Coast League. ECHL team, you've got the goalie. It's always usually the goalie. That's mm-hmm. their main – the main focus for the parent club is getting a goalie here starting the majority of the games. And sometimes that frustrates local fans because they're like, well, there's this other goalie playing. He did better. Well, it doesn't matter. He's a free agent.
Right. Yep.
We're
they
gonna
don't,
go,
they
yeah,
don't care.
We're going to go with the guy that's drafted.
Yep.
And then they usually assign us five or six guys. Sometimes we'll get guys – like this year we got a couple guys off trades that they weren't sure were going to fit in with their AHL club. And then they came here and a couple guys did really well and then ended up spending the rest of the season in the A. So usually in the East Coast League you get a goalie and six. And then you got to fill the rest of the roster on free agent contracts.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the roundabout way of saying it. And then your AAA guys, you know – there's a lot of movement between the AAA club. And sometimes it's like, we're going to pull this guy up for today.
Right.
And send him back tomorrow. And it's – that's –
well, there's already –
there's the NBA. Sorry to cut you off, Sam, but that's the NBA comparison is that's what the Utah Jazz do with their G League affiliate. And they want it here in town because they do just that. They've got guys on two-way contracts that can play with the Stars, the Salt Lake City Stars, and then when they need them, they bring them up. Or there's sometimes they'll play with the Stars on Wednesday, and then they're in a Jazz uniform dressed for the game in the NBA on a Thursday. So that makes a lot of sense. But building off of that, just your opinion, just speculating, would there be a possibility of Ryan wanting to establish an AHL team here, just like the Jazz have with the G League and the Salt Lake City Stars?
100%.
Makes sense.
It only makes sense to me that this happens, and I'll tell you, it only makes sense to me if you look at the current, like back in the day, like we were somebody's farm club and they were far away, or when we were the New York Islanders farm club. I mean, it just didn't make sense, flying guys, and so even with Dallas. So when the NHL started really populating the West, at some point the California team said, you know what makes sense? Let's make a whole division of the AHL, a conference. And let's just buy our own team. San Jose's AHL team played in the same building as the Sharks.
Yeah.
You know, and LA's is right there in Ontario. And Ontario California, not Canada. And then you've got the Ducks have the San Diego Goals.
The Golden Knights have a Henderson.
Henderson. That's 20 minutes away.
Right. Makes sense.
And it's $13.
Yeah.
Like, every time I go to Vegas, I get a notification. Hey, you want to go to a game tonight? $10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go watch AHL hockey for $10.
Yeah.
And plus, now you pull a guy up. You're like, hey, you're dressing tonight. You don't have to fly them the day before. So it keeps them off your salary cap. It keeps them off per diem. You just pull them up for one day.
It gives your fans a chance to connect with those players at the AHL level when it's more affordable. And as I remember when he played for whatever your franchise name is in the AHL, now they're our star with Utah Hockey Club. So,
and do they put NHL players, kind of like Major League Baseball, do they put NHL players on rehab assignments with their AHL, like if they're coming back from an injury?
Yeah.
So that's another reason, right? It gives you that connection. You get to get a closer look at ex-NHL star, whatever the player's name is, who needs a couple of games to skate with the AHL affiliate. It gives you that much more of a reason to go to the AHL games, too. My only comparison to this is just my own experience with being in Colorado with the Colorado Rockies when their AAA affiliate was in Colorado Springs, and you'd see a guy like Troy Tulowitzki come down for four games, or a Todd Helton, you know, these star players from the Rockies come down, and it made the Colorado Springs crowd just love that team more because they knew it was a part of the team that they really loved, the MLB team, and it makes 100% sense for that to eventually happen here in Utah with this NHL franchise.
Yeah, and again, that just makes perfect sense to me, and the Grizzlies have been there before.
Yeah.
And you've seen it like with goalies. I'm trying to remember the goalie this year. He got sent down to the AHL, literally played one period. And, like, everybody came to see him play. So, like, oh, how quaint. I'm going to see him in this nice little arena. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be really close to him. And he came out, took warm-up, played the first period, and then he's like, no, I'm good. I feel good. And they're like, okay, don't play anymore. You're just, put the e-bug on the bench, and he got dressed and left.
Wow. That would also answer the question that I've been asking just to myself. Where's this team going to practice? You got to get a practice facility, right? If you got the AHL affiliate, then I guess Maverick Center would solve that question. But because you can't practice here if there's an NBA game the day after a game or whatever, right? Or
right.
Maybe I guess you do practice. Your morning.
You have to have your own
still,
facility in the year 2024. You got to have your own facility. They got to build one.
Yeah, and they have to. And right now they're gonna figure something out. I was honestly, this all happened so fast, but I think the plan was there was going to be more movement made on
a new
getting either another building up, which I know they've talked about. I gotta be careful what I say about the future plans. I know there's plans to make Utah to have more rinks in Utah.
Yeah.
If you just look at the
makes sense
the roadmap that Las Vegas did, I expect a similar growth here. So it made sense to buy the Maverick Center or acquire the Maverick Center or rent the Maverick Center. And have two locker rooms out of there, and have the NHL team practice in the morning, and the Grizzlies practice after that, whatever. But it looks like they're going to end up in either the Accord, or I really think it's going to be the Olympic Oval because of the training facilities.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Kearns would be great. It's a beautiful facility. It would work for now until they get something up, right?
Well, personally, as a goaltender, least favorite arena to play in here. And actually, I've been asked not to play there because I did a story one time on a guy there.
You ticked somebody off?
Yeah.
Jay!
I did a story on them not shaking hands after games. I'm there's tradition. You can't just go. They put
people, right.
All right, that's different. I'm not going to go off on that. But anyway, I got asked.
You got to go rebuild that burn bridge.
It wasn't because you dropped gloves or something?
No. So I got asked to not play there anymore, but which was fine because, man, as a goaltender, you get dressed in this back locker room.
Yeah.
And then you walk 200 feet, and then you walk down these stairs, and then you walk another 200 feet,
right.
And then you walk up these stairs, and then around this stuff. By the time you get there, your skates aren't as sharp as they were. So it's – I don't know. I think that's a great place for them to play, but the goalies are going to hate it.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. This is awesome. We'll continue this conversation. We got to take a break. Give Trajan Wealth a call today. If you've got financial planning you need to do, getting ready for retirement, maybe you own a small business that needs a 401k plan for your employees, Trajan Wealth can help you with that. They're your local financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600, or visit their website at TrajanWealth.com. Sam and Jay will continue here with me as we continue to break down this incredible development that NHL is coming to Utah. Gary Bettman on what this arena could like in the future. We didn't expect any news on that, but he
He let the cat out.
Got a little ahead of himself yesterday, but and we'll enjoy the information he leaked yesterday. Coming up next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2GBar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Maine.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Starting a new franchise in Utah, and we get to start fresh, but we get this incredible team and this young team with assets and incredible people, and that's what we're most excited about, and that's really what we're acquiring. That's why when the league called us and said 6 weeks or less, like, let's go, that's a pretty daunting task, but we just believe in the people, and if everyone's on board, like, we can go do whatever we want to go do, and that's exciting.
That's new NHL owner Ryan Smith. Smith Entertainment Group has brought an NHL franchise to Utah, and we continue to cover the NHL in Utah official yesterday. And now we can enjoy and embrace and celebrate the fact that we have an NHL team here in Utah and all that comes with that. So much exciting things to break down. Sam Farnsworth with me, Jay Stevens, KSLSports.com, and we continue to break down everything NHL here in Utah as we get ready for the press conference. Ryan Smith will address us at 5 p.m. here at Delta Center. We're sure to learn a lot more about this situation, how it developed, where it is now, where it's going. Don't expect anything too groundbreaking, but he could surprise us. So,
can I hit you with some breaking news?
Please.
Ooh. This just in from SEG.
Oh, boy.
21,000 plus.
That's an update.
They're sold out.
21. That's
so. That's going to keep growing. That number will keep growing,
unless
too,
the team plays at Rice-Eccles Stadium. They're definitely sold out. There's no doubt about that.
I did get a message from someone saying that they're not sure that they'll get tickets this year, but they're putting down the deposit still.
Oh, yeah. And there's probably some of that, because that is a refundable $100 deposit.
It is just a deposit. We understand that. But that much interest in 24
Love
hours.
It.
Jay, before we get into the topics we're going to discuss, does that blow you away?
That's more than that's not what I expected. I expected Utahns to show up, as Ryan keeps saying, but I didn't expect this. This is just like, it's like my birthday. It's, you know, like all my friends are coming out, and this is amazing, and it's just proven to be true. Brings a tear to my eye, not yet, but it will. My wife's going to make fun of me, because at some point, like when puck drops here, game one, I will get teary.
Oh, my gosh.
And
the emotion in the building in October is just going to be phenomenal.
I feel bad for Arizona fans, but, man, it's our turn.
Yeah, it is.
And this place deserves it. This has been a hockey town since 1969. You go back to the days. You know the history. Jay, I don't have to tell you, but the Salt Lake Golden Eagles used to play right across the street from here.
Yeah.
The old Salt Palace. My dad told me about the games he went to. He took my grandparents to a game once, and they had never been, and a stick got thrown into the in the seats right in front of my grandparents, and a fight broke out, and they'd never seen anything like it. It's such a great story to hear, but I bring that up because there is a tradition
here,
and it's awesome to be able to celebrate it with this announcement, and brings back a lot of memories for people. The Salt Lake Golden Eagles used to outdraw the Utah Jazz in the early 80s.
Yeah.
They were champions of the Central Hockey League back-to-back in 1980 and 81. I'm going through the video, Jay. I'm watching the video. Interviews in the locker room. They're spraying champagne everywhere. What a glorious time that was for hockey. And I think a lot of people at that time thought the NHL was probably an inevitability here. And the fact that it took 45 years for it to happen is it sucks, but at the same time, here we are celebrating this. And like you, someone who loves hockey and here in this community, you've been waiting for this moment for so long. I just wanted to mention that with the history. That's why it's so emotional for you and many others. This week and what's to come is just so exciting. Nominate the U Sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union and Beehive Meals, which are awesome. All right, so the arena obviously has to have some changes. We don't know when that's going to happen, or do we? The commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, was on the NHL Network yesterday, and he shared this little nugget of breaking news that I don't think anybody here wanted out, but here we go, on the future of Delta Center for hockey.
There are plans which I've seen. It'll take two summers to do it after this summer, but the unobstructed capacity will be 17,000 when they're done. And while it's 12,000 unobstructed now, there's still another 4,000 for the temporary part of this obstructed seats.
So there you go, guys.
So 16,000 seats, season one. So
right.
4,000 being obstructed.
Yep.
Which
just means you can't see the entire ice, but.
Which for those of us that came to the Eagles games and the
right.
first season of the Grizzlies game here,
yeah.
Granted, it's a little bit different, not a lot different, but it didn't bother us then.
Right.
Okay.
I know people are picky now, but, man, you could still see it. And I was here with 17,000 other people when the Grizzlies won the championship.
So it's not going to be like Frozen Fury where they're keeping it around 10, 11. They're gonna go bigger.
And they're not horrible seats. You're not going to be staring at a post or something. You're going to be—you just can't see one corner or something.
Right,
or,
gotcha.
You know, see the puck every once in a while, but
right.
You know, look up. Look, that's the good thing about here. They got glorious. Like the Jumbotron here is amazing.
Yeah.
And I go to NFL games. I watch the big TV there most of the time anyway.
And one thing I love about Delta Center is it's a loud arena. That's what Larry Miller got it right back when he built it. Like just the way the sound reverberates in there. And I'm not saying that that's what makes it so loud. It's the fans that make it loud, clearly, but the building helps. That's why you hear jazz players all the time talk about the atmosphere in the first month or two of the season being a playoff atmosphere. It's loud. I think this hockey team, they're going to have their socks, their skates blown off, I guess, when they get in here.
I'm really happy for those players that are coming here, having to play in a 4,800-seat arena that wasn't always full.
Yeah.
They're going to come here. That first game in October is going to be a celebration. It's going to be packed. Fans are going to go nuts. And, yes, this building is going to be just as loud for hockey as it is for the NBA. And those players are going to be absolutely blown away, Jay. It's going to be like an instant connection love affair, I believe, because those players, they really loved and cared about that community, which was in honesty, and I shouldn't say the community, the team and everything, the situation. I'm not talking about the fans. The situation was letting them down.
Yeah.
They deserve better than what they had there. They're going to come here, and it's going to be top-notch.
Yeah. Everybody's going to be just grateful that they're here, and they're going to show what Utah fans are. Like, it's, you know, the Utes fans, the Cougars fans, the Jazz fans. They're always known for being loud. Even the 5,000 Grizzlies fans that are every game, it's that building holds 12,000. There's only 5,000 people there. It's still loud. They still show up and cheer and make it fun for the team. You know, you get some energy off that.
Don't,
for sure.
Don't let the deficiencies from Arizona fool you either, right?
Yeah.
The strength, hockey's the strongest it's ever been. They just put a press release out today, and I'm just reading it now. In arena, the NHL set an all-time record for total attendance in a single season with 22.8 million fans taking in NHL games live during the 23-24 season. That's 97% capacity, more than any other in the league's 106-year history. Hockey is healthy. Yeah. NHL hockey is very healthy right now. And for it to be coming to Utah this time, it's just the perfect pairing.
I'll make a note of that. I mean, Gary Bettman gave away a lot right there. And I don't know that SCG wanted all that out, but basically he said he's seen the plans, and that's not just affecting the hockey team. That affects the Utah Jazz, right?
Yeah.
So two more summers,
yep.
25, 26, by 27, the Jazz and NHL team, whatever it's going to be named, will be playing in a revamped Delta Center that is redone and ready for hockey with the sight lines you need.
So
he just gave away the timeline.
Want to do some educated guessing?
Sure.
Okay. So if you come to these games and if you've been to the Frozen Fury and you sit behind the nets and you look down, you're like, okay, I can't see the corner.
Right.
I can't see the puck when it's in this corner because it's elevated too much.
Right.
And the seats are, they have so many seats retracted. And so guessing, I would say the end of next season into that summer, you see half this arena get the tarp put over it, you know, and I think you see the angle of those seats change behind the nets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say you do half of that per summer.
Interesting. So they have a plan. They're going to figure this out.
I'm guessing.
I mean, it's well, we know they have a plan, and I think what you're guessing, but you're giving some insight on how that can happen.
Yeah.
Based on your knowledge about how the rink is set up. This area is going to be, you know, as soon as everything's done with the funding and everything's settled, and they start this project, this is going to be phenomenal, which is going to make this place even better. We most likely have the Winter Olympics coming here.
Yeah.
And to be able to have the men's and women's tournaments held here in Delta Center with perfect NHL, with perfect hockey sight lines is just going to be phenomenal. And that gets to the next point that Gary Bettman brought up about why this place was attractive. And I think we've seen some chatter on social media. It's always going to get that because Salt Lake City, people are just really ignorant about it. And I knew one national guy said, Salt Lake City, like, are they really going to be able to do NBA and NHL? Why? Why would they want to go there?
Well, they said our population was like 200,000. What populace were you looking at?
They're looking at the city. The city boundaries itself, right? They don't understand.
Like you
this.
Look at the greater population here. And right. You can include parts of Idaho, Wyoming, Nevada. Yeah. There's 3 million people here that are starving for pro sports.
Yep. Yep.
And the smart people in the room. They're not dumb. They know that. They know where the money is. And Ryan Smith's able to tell that story and go to a Gary Bettman. And so and Larry H. Miller Group company is going to the MLB right now and saying, look at this.
Yeah.
You guys can come. There's 3 million people here that are starving for something to do in the summer. They have soccer, which is amazing. But you can have baseball, too. You can have a piece of this. This is not – there's the momentum here is not stopping.
I mean, it's market 27, TV market-wise, too. That's big.
It was 36 when I started here.
It's grown so fast.
In 2005, it was 33 just 5 years ago.
Exactly.
And Nashville, we're coming for you. You're next.
you look at all the markets that we're passing.
We've passed Pittsburgh. We've passed Cincinnati. Yeah.
Wow.
This place is growing rapidly.
Yep.
So here's Gary Bettman on why he likes getting a hockey team here in Utah.
Well, I think it's going to be great. It's a great winter sports area, so we're looking forward to going to Utah. Great for sports, great for winter sports, and we think NHL hockey will thrive there.
He's right, and we have proof in 24 hours, Jay. 21,000 season tickets deposits in 24 hours since they launched. People here are hungry for this. They're excited for this. We've got a great ownership group that's going to do things the right way. We trust they will. We hope they will. And you're going to give this young roster a chance. You're going to go out and spend to try to win. Ryan wants to win.
Yeah.
I know that. You know, you can criticize the branding of the Jazz. You can criticize this and that. I don't doubt he wants to win. He's not doing this for the reasons some other owners do.
Right.
He wants to have impact on this community. He wants to win because he cares about this place. And how you do that, you can criticize and argue how it's done, but that's the end goal here. This isn't just to be a part of the NHL. This is to win a Stanley Cup. And how incredible would that be? And a year from now, this franchise can have a chance to make that Stanley Cup playoffs. And, Jay, as you know, and we can discuss that as we get ready for this, but you get in the NHL in the Stanley Cup playoffs and – just because you're number one doesn't mean you're going to win the cup.
Right.
It's not like the NBA where there's that one team with LeBron on it or Steph that's going to dominate and win the title. The NHL's different.
Yeah. The NHL is fair. And that's what makes it exciting. And if you look back, we'll use Trevor as an example.
Yeah.
The first year the LA Kings won the cup, they were the eighth seed. They qualified the last night of regular season. They had to beat the San Jose Sharks to qualify to go into playoffs. They beat the Sharks. So you're the Sharks fan, sorry. We have Sharks fans here. They beat the Sharks, and then they ended up beating the Sharks in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden they were on fire.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Quick caught fire, and they just, you know, that's why it's exciting, is because you never know who it's going to be. And that's a long – those playoff series, those are long and hard. So it's that's what makes it so exciting. That's why everybody loves it. That's what's great about this sport.
Well, and it makes perfect sense. Like the marriage between the NHL and Utah is perfect. The winter games most likely coming here in 2034, just 10 years from now, having this place renovated and ready for that makes perfect sense. There's not a better time for this to happen. And Utah's ready. There's no doubt about that. And the NHL wanted to be here. They wanted to make this happen. And that's exciting. is we want the NHL. The NHL wanted us, and it's going to be a great fit and a great marriage. We got to take a break. When we come back, everybody wants to know about the branding. What's the name of the team going to be? We don't know yet. We might get some more hints from Ryan Smith today at 5 o'clock, but we'll share our own opinions on what that should be in Would You Rather next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Listen, everybody.
Real-life hypotheticals to get your brain churning. As JJ and Alex ask, Would You Rather?
Welcome back. Just outside Delta Center, where Ryan Smith will hold a press conference at 5 p.m. NHL in Utah coverage continues. And look who just stopped by the booth here. He's going to be with us the rest of the way. Do you have nothing better to do on a Friday afternoon than hang out with us?
I'm not going to lie. When they said you can hang out with Jay, you can hang out with JJ, you can get down there, talk more hockey, I got all excited. And I was like, I'm going to go buy sandwiches. Because I've been watching you on the news. You're looking peakish. I don't know what you're doing. But you're looking peakish, JJ, and I'm not going to have you losing weight on my watch.
Top secret. You're not stuffing one of those in my mouth. You're not doing it. I'm. You're not going to break me today, Hans. You're not going to break me.
Oh, I'm going to break you, and you're going to eat one of these sandwiches. If I've got to get the plumber's helper and shove it down your throat, I'm going
to have
to
call security. Hans Olsen joins us here on JJ and Alex. Before we dig into the Would You Rather, guys, I have to read this. And this is actually really cool. Golfers, you don't want to miss. You win a golf multi-vendor demo and fitting event this Saturday from 10 to 4 at Mulligan's Golf and Games. This big one-day event is your chance to demo the hottest new products, meet with golf manufacturer reps, and get custom fit for your new clubs. And all purchases, all backed by our 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to theworldwidegolf.com and book your custom fitting today. This Saturday at Mulligan's Golf and Games. Get there. All right.
That sounds like fun.
Let's get in. Would you rather today? It's got to be the name, right? So, would you rather the name of this hockey club? We'll open up to both of you. I'm dying to get Jay's because I haven't had this conversation with them yet. Somebody who has been in hockey his entire life in this market. Would you rather have one of the names that's been brought up or already has a trademark on that we reported yesterday, or something else? Hans.
Something else.
What do you want this to be called?
I want it to be something that is kind of random, outside the box, and interesting. The truth is, I have a really hard time caring. That's the real deep end truth of this. I don't give two craps, but I know
really?
People do. So out of that, I want it to be something interesting. And you know what I love about this whole process? Ryan Smith has genuinely put it back in Utah's hands to name this team. If people think, oh, he was just throwing it out there just to get some creative ideas. No, I think that Ryan Smith genuinely wants Utah to have some ownership in the naming of this. The only thing I care about, and Jay, you might be the same way because you played the sport. The only thing I care about is that when I come watch the puck drop in September, that team is very competitive, if not dominant.
Yep.
All I want is good hockey. I think that the most important thing is that these guys compete and win. But
you don't care about the branding. You don't care about people across the country and across the great Commonwealth of Canada wanting to buy a Utah NHL sweater or a hat.
Okay, if you're forcing me to name it, and people hate this, and I know Scotty hates it, and bless his heart, he bites his tongue every time I mention it. So I had, like, both sides of my family were pioneers that came across the plains and settled this area. I have such a fond connection to the pioneers that settled this valley. I would love it to be the pioneers, but
top pioneers. Okay,
I don't hate that at all. I just because of the pulling from Utah tradition, I actually really like that.
Jay,
just saying.
I haven't heard your take on this yet, and I'm dying to hear it. I'll respect your opinion.
I don't know why you'd. I'm all over the place with this. I had my favorites.
You not zeroed in on one you love more than the others.
I had my favorites coming into it.
Yeah.
When this was just, you know, let's say a year ago, 2 years ago, and they were talking about it, I really wanted the Fighting Saints. And that's a traditional hockey team name. There's been a few Fighting Saints that have came through, including the St. Paul Saints and the WHL, which became the NHL. So I really liked that, and I thought it had a good tie-in, but I can see how some people might be take that as an offense. But, you know, look, the Fighting Irish, the Fighting Saints, that was fine. It shouldn't be too offensive. As we go more and more and the Yeti thing kept – At first I'm like, nah, it's just dumb. And then I kept seeing the artwork, and I kept seeing stuff, and I'm like – it grew on me. I kind of like that.
Not a fan of Yeti.
Yeah, I'm not. I get it. I
JJ,
get that a lot
you?
Of people aren't.
I do like it.
You do like Yeti?
But I don't like it as the name. I like it as the mascot.
The mascot.
I love Fighting Saints. I'm not going to lie. I love Fighting Saints.
Have you ever seen the old Fighting Saints logo?
No, I haven't.
So it's like this punk hockey player, just a bunch of freckles and teeth missing, and then he's got a halo stuck to the back of his helmet. So it's like a fake halo thing. And it's just, I thought it was hilarious.
That is very hockey.
Yeah, I thought it was great hockey tradition.
Well, I like it because, you know, there were times in our church's history where they did have to dig in their heels and fight.
Literally fight.
And literally fight, yeah. You know, and they built a militia. Yep. And they had actually a very large military at times, and so the Fighting Saints, man, I
liked it.
I don't hate that
because
at all.
Because of all that, yeah.
I'm going to pull up the logo. Is that would I just
St. Paul Fighting Saints?
Okay.
I don't know if there's a trademark still on it. Now you're going to put the pressure on me, and I've been public about this the last couple of days. I said it on the 10 o'clock news last night. I said it on our social media. I do like the Utah Blizzard.
Okay.
It's got the Z's. We have the greatest snow on earth.
Yeah.
It is hockey. This is a winter sports haven. And then what I would like to do with a little bit of a twist on the Blizzard is be called the Blizzard but adopt the Yeti as the mascot. There's not another pro sports franchise anywhere that I know of. There may be, but not that I'm aware of, that uses a Yeti. And I saw some of the mock-ups that someone did of the Yeti, and I thought, that is really cool.
Yeah.
That's very marketable. And opposed to what you guys are thinking, I am very brand us. I do pay attention to marketing.
Yeah.
And it does matter. It really does matter that young people want to wear your jersey, that people want to come see this team play because of the brand or how cool it is, the way it looks. And you really, like Ryan stressing in the last 24 hours, we'll hear again from him at 5 o'clock. He wants to nail this and get it right. He's hired a firm and he's spending a lot of money to get it right. But that name works for me. I'd like to see them adopt some cool colors and maybe also purple to tie in the Jazz and the NHL franchise because they are going to be in the same family, to have both of them use the color purple. Nice, cool spectrum, icy jerseys.
Yeah. Oh, you've really thought this out.
I have thought about
those. Those mock-ups have it. My only concern is that the Avalanche have their abominable snowman, and if you're the Blizzard and you put a Yeti, there might be some
A little bit of conflict.
We need to tick off our friends over in Denver anyway. Start to create a rivalry.
Right now. You were in the market when the Blaze started up.
Oh yeah.
What did you think of the Blaze?
Awesome.
And their logo? They did great with the fire, the flames.
It sounded good. It looked good. It was unique. It was different. And I thought Utah Blaze was awesome here. And think about it, Hans. Now you've been in this business for a while. You guys had 15,000-plus fans for an arena football
game. Jam-packed. Every game.
It was awesome.
It was incredible.
Utah Blaze was awesome. The look, the flames on the helmets, the jerseys, it was cool.
They did a good job.
It really worked.
They did, and they had the whole thing with flames.
Yeah.
And they had these big old flame makers. We'd
I was
run
there.
Out. And,
oh, I came.
Oh, did you
I was
come?
A fan. Yeah, I was there.
So I was a part of that first Blaze team.
All the fire department, we all came.
That was it. Yeah. It was a great time. They did a really good job. They had I believe they had a Dalmatian as the mascot.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I
you're
saw
right.
The Blaze football.
The whole marketing thing, it really can be great, big. And JJ, you're not wrong for loving it. I just don't. I have no interest.
You don't care about it. You care about what happens on the ice. And I think a lot of fans are like you and Jay. You care about what's on the ice. I'm looking at it from a broader perspective of how attractive, and you don't want to put out a name and a brand and a look and have everybody in the United States and Canada laugh at you. Like, it's got to be awesome. And it's got to be something that really is different and sets you apart. And I'm probably wrong on the Blizzard and the Yeti stuff. Like you say, there is a little bit too much similarity with Colorado, but that's kind of why I like it.
Well, whatever it is, everybody hated Vegas jerseys when they first saw them. Now everybody loves them.
That's fair.
A lot of people were against the Kraken when they first heard it. Now they love it. So whatever it is, it'll grow on you. Like the Yeti grew on me.
There you go. All right. That's been fun. Jay, awesome. Thanks. He's been here the entire hour.
We're going to keep him for another couple hours.
But, Jay, you're the best. This has been fun. And, again, I can't – as a hockey fan and how much this matters to you, congratulations on this moment. I know how much this means to you and the hockey community here. And we're so excited to be able to be covering this and to be a part of it. So, and thanks again for your coverage. Puck Report on KSLSports.com. Jay Stevens, your go-to for hockey info and news here in this market at KSLSports.com. All right, we got to take a break. Hans and I will take you into the 4 o'clock hour. We'll continue to share more on this massive story of the NHL coming to Utah. That and more next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready-to-spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com. For all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.